All right, Matthew chapter 16 is our text tonight. I want you to look at the first few verses here of this passage of Scripture. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees." Now, I tell you, folks, when you get that bunch together, there's trouble coming. All right, there's something that is about to go down that is not good. And but verse 1 says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven." Now notice that. They wanted a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." All right, let's pray together, and I want to speak to you tonight on the signs of the times, the signs of the times. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it's with gladness that we open the Word of God tonight. And Lord, in a world where there is so little answer to anything, where the truth seems to always be veiled and shaded, where there's always confusion trying to get to the reality of the truth, we can open the Bible and know that we are looking at the truth from your mind. And Father, I pray that you will bless tonight as we look at the Word of God. And Lord, open our understanding to the things of the Lord. Give us, I pray, Father, a blessing from heaven as we contemplate the second coming of our Lord. And Father, help us to get excited about the fact that Jesus is coming again and that it could be today that he comes. Lord, I pray that we will see the urgency of reading our Bibles and the urgency of winning people to Christ, the urgency of praying and living for Christ, the urgency of serving and being obedient in the things of the Lord in light of the fact that Jesus is coming again. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless and fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak tonight. And Lord, I pray you'll just bless our folks as they listen. Thank you, Lord, so much for your eternal word. Bless it now, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is something very encouraging about the four verses that I read for you tonight. The Lord Jesus is confronted by these ecclesiastical giants of his day, and they ask him for some kind of a sign to prove that he was who he claimed to be. Now, he, of course, claimed that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, the Anointed One. The Old Testament scriptures had told about the coming of the Messiah, and he said clearly, without any cover whatsoever, he said that he was the Christ. They called him Jesus Christ because he said that was his name. He was the Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One. And so he answers them with something that should give all of us encouragement. Anyone who has enough sense to read the ordinary signs of the weather should be able to read the signs of the times. That's basically what he's saying. If you can look up in the sky in the evening as the sun is going down, you've heard your dad taught you or your grandfather taught you that when the sun sets and the sky is red, that tomorrow is going to be a nice day. When you get up of a morning and you see that the sky is red, you know that before the day is over, there's going to be some foul weather that comes in. And the Lord is basically saying to everybody, all of you know this. All of you know this. You learned this from your parents or from your grandparents. And so basically what he's saying here is that anyone who has enough sense to read the obvious and ordinary signs of the weather should be able to read the signs of the times. Everybody knows that if you have a red sky in the morning, that foul weather is not far behind it. Everybody knows that if you have a red sky in the evening when the sun is going down, it is a sign that the weather is going to be good the next day. And so while they might have enough sense to be able to see what the weather's going to be, they didn't have enough spiritual sense to realize who was standing right in front of them. And so these are amazing words. Now you got to realize that and remember that this was 2,000 years ago, and it is so sad that we have a religious and we have a political leaders, religious leaders and political leaders who cannot see the things that they ought to have enough sense to see. Now, someone said that the only thing we ever learn from history is that we don't ever learn anything from history. And that's pretty much true, is it not? Folks, we all know that socialism has never worked. It's never worked. And it's not working anywhere in the world where it's being tried today. But the only thing that we learn from history is that we don't ever learn anything from history. And here is our government trying to take us down the socialist path. It's so sad. These men should have recognized what was going on. They should have recognized that Jesus was who he claimed to be. I mean, our world today, we can trace the course of the stars in the heavens. We can send the space shuttle into outer space and have it dock with the space station. We can put a man on the moon, but our most brilliant minds cannot find the path of God in human history. I don't understand that, do you? I really don't get that. Now, there's something here that I want to call to your attention before I get to the actual message tonight. I want you to think about the fact that this is not a rebuke in the text for those sincerely for those who sincerely seek to know the signs of the times. This is, the Lord is not rebuking folks for sincerely wanting to know the signs of the times. Now, it's true, the Lord Jesus rebuked this wicked and adulterous generation for seeking after a sign in verse 4, but the wickedness of that generation did not consist of them merely seeking after a sign. They were wicked because they had asked for a sign after they had already been given hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of signs and had turned their backs on all of them. It's sad that the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, was standing right there, and yet they couldn't see it. They were condemned for willful blindness. Willful blindness, not for seeking signs. With those who long to see the signs of his coming, the Lord Jesus is very tender and gracious and will point out those signs. That's not the reason for the rebuke here. Let me illustrate that. If you'll remember, after John the Baptist had been thrown into jail by Herod, he started to think about things, and some doubts crept even into John the Baptist's mind. You remember, he started to question some things while he was in prison. Had he been mistaken in thinking that he had seen the signs of the Messiah in Jesus of Nazareth? That's what was in his heart. He was in jail and he started to wonder, did I make a mistake here? Did I see what I, do I think I see what I wasn't really seeing? I mean, is Jesus really the Messiah? And you'll remember he sent some of his disciples back to the Lord to get the answers that were on his heart. You're in chapter 16. Go back just a couple of chapters to chapter 11. Let me read this for you and show you John's doubts. Look at chapter 11. It says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Hey folks, John the Baptist had some doubts. Don't get on yourself too hard if doubts come into your mind every now and then. You say, "Well, I think it would be wrong to doubt." Yeah, it would be, but I can tell you how to fix your doubts. Read your Bible. For in your Bible, your doubts will be turned into certainties. The Bible will give you the signs that you need. The Bible will give you the information. It will give you the truth and will open your understanding to what you believe. And so here is John, and he said he sent disciples to Jesus, and they asked him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And look at how the Lord answered. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do see, do hear and see." Well, what did they hear and see? Here it is. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto him. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Folks, I submit to you that the Lord was very tender in dealing with John's doubts. And again, I think today, to those believers who may have grown weary in watching for the Lord's return, for those that may have grown weary in watching for the second coming of Christ, the Lord Jesus says to you, go and show them again the things which ye do hear and see. We've been talking about the Lord returning for a long time, have we not? I mean, I've been preaching about it ever since I started preaching. I can remember some of those early sermons that I preached when I was still in college, and pastors would call the school and want a preacher to come and fill in. Maybe the pastor was sick or was going to be on vacation, and they would call the school and they would ask Dr. Stenholm if there was a preacher boy that could come and fill the pulpit for them. And I can remember as a junior in college, I can remember driving to some of these churches and preaching in the Greenville area, and I can remember some of those early days preaching on how strongly I believe that the Lord Jesus was coming again. But you know, it's like the little boy cries wolf. You know, I mean, it's like we say it and we say it and we say it and we say it, but yet the Lord has not yet returned. And some of us may sit and scratch our heads and wonder, well, is he really coming back? Is he really going to return? I mean, is the rapture really going to happen? Well, folks, let me say to you that I believe with every fiber of my being that the Lord is coming back. And the reason I believe that is because I read about it in the Word of God. People are today looking for signs. Folks, listen, don't look for signs. Read your Bible. And when you read your Bible, you're going to find out that, yes, Jesus is coming again. He promised us he was coming again. And we just have to believe with all of our heart that he is. I've had several people ask me, in the last year, "Pastor, do you think the rapture of the church is near?" I certainly do. I believe it is near. I've always believed that it's near. I believe that we are the generation that is going to see the Lord's return. I believe that that we are the generation that's going to hear the trumpet sound. I believe that. And I, you know, looking back, I read a lot. I read a lot about the preachers of the past, and I read their sermons, and I read their writings and their books. And you know, I think that every generation has since the early church. I think every generation has had its men who have stood and proclaimed, "Thus saith the Lord," and every generation has believed that they are the generation that will be alive when Jesus comes again. And the reason we believe that is because our Bible tells us so. He's coming again. So I've had a lot of people ask me, "Pastor, you think the rapture is near?" Well, folks, with all that's going on in the world and how the world is shaping up and looking at the world and then looking at the Bible, yes, I do believe with all of my heart that Jesus is coming again and that it could be soon. I think the people of God need to take a look at their Bibles and get back to the reality of the promise of His coming and have that as our hope and have that hope out before us and have that hope keep us marching on and not let us get weary in well-doing and throw in the towel and say, "What's the use?" Folks, there is use. You heard about it tonight. People got saved today as a result of the fact that we ran these buses. People are going to get saved as a result of the fact that we're going to do this Living Cross program. And we need to realize that we got to work until Jesus comes. Now, let's go back to the text chapter here, the 16th chapter. And I want you to follow me here. The Sadducees and the Pharisees are asking for a sign. Show us a sign. Show us something that will convince us. Well, folks, listen, if you're not going to be convinced by the Bible, then you're not going to be convinced. So let's think about our Bible. I want you, first of all, tonight to understand that there is a sequence of events in prophecy. There is a sequence of events in prophecy. May I remind you that the Bible is the eternal word of the living God. May I remind you that not one jot or tittle of the word of God will fail. And God has mapped out for us the future in this Bible. You know, the problem is God's people don't read their Bibles. That's why so many Christians have lost the thrill of the second coming of Christ. We're not reading our Bibles like we should be. If we were reading our Bibles, we would realize that the Lord is coming back because it is mentioned hundreds of times in the Scriptures. I mean, there is prophecy after prophecy. There is verse after verse. There is picture after picture. There is promise after promise that Jesus is coming again. But understand, folks, that that God has mapped out His program. God has mapped out His plan for the future. And God has told us in His word exactly what is going to happen. I find it amazing that God told us how we got here. You know, everybody's trying to explain the world without God. You know, we got all this evolution stuff. We've got evolution be a theory that's all it is. It's a theory. That's all it was ever proclaimed to be when Darwin came up with it. That was all it was ever proclaimed to be, and the theory of evolution. But now the theory of evolution is being presented as fact. No, you will find out how we got here by reading your Bible. You will find out in the Bible how we're leaving here. You will find out what the future has in store. You will find out all about eternity by reading your Bible. Now, let's think about this sequence of events that God has given us in His Word. The sequence starts with the Lord coming back for His church. That's the next prophetic thing to happen on God's calendar. You will remember that I have taught you a 5R outline that will give you God's plan and God's program. There is, first of all, the rapture of the church. That's the next thing to happen. You'll read about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11 through verse 18. You will read about the rapture, how the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised up out of the grave. And then those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you want to take this 5R outline that I'm giving you right now and lay it over top of the book of the Revelation, you will find that in Revelation we are right now living in chapter 2 and chapter 3 in the church age. And then in chapter 4, you have the rapture of the church. You go and study 1 Thessalonians 4, and then you turn over to Revelation 4, and you see the similarities, you see the parallels between those two chapters. And you will see the rapture in the fourth chapter. Then, after the rapture of the church, which is, by the way, the next thing to happen on God's calendar. There is nothing that has to happen. There is no group of nations, or there is no alignment of nations. There is no treaty. There is no, anything. Nothing has to happen. The next thing to happen is the rapture of the church. Now, the rapture could happen today. When the rapture happens, the church is out of here, then you find the second R in that outline. You have the rapture, and then you have what I call the ruin, the tribulation period. That tribulation period is found in your New Testament, but it is also found many times in your Old Testament. And what I want to do over the next several weeks and several months and maybe even longer than that, what I want to do on Wednesday nights is I want to take you back to the Old Testament and look at many of those Old Testament scriptures in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Micah and Joel and Nahum and Zechariah and Haggai. Look at all of these prophecies that are in that Old Testament scriptures. Because, folks, those scriptures are prophecies about what's going to happen during this time, the ruin period. We read them and we try to put them over here in the church age. They have nothing to do with the church age. They are tribulation age. That's what they're all about. And we read them and we bog down and we can't fathom what God is saying here. I want us to look at these. These are a part of our Bible and we need to know what they are saying. So I want us to study them. I want you to know that while you are learning them, I will be learning them as well. I want you to know that. I mean, I'm going to be learning along with you because, like many of you, I've read them. And as I've read them, I thought, oh my goodness, what in the world is he talking about here? And I've just made up my mind, I'm going to find out what he's talking about here. And when I find out what he's talking about, I'm going to try my best to explain it to you so that you will know and I will know. And when we get to heaven and we're walking down the streets of gold and some guy walks by and stops and introduces himself and says, hi, my name's Isaiah. Did you read my book? We'll be able to smile from ear to ear and say, yes, I did. As a matter of fact, not only did I read it, but I understood what you were saying. Because most Christians don't. They don't. And I want to be able to understand it. And I want you to be able to understand it. But what we need to realize is that most of those prophecies that are given are connected to this time period, during the tribulation period. And those scriptures are basically announcing the wrath of God upon nations that have turned during all this period of time, all the way back to the beginning of the nation of Israel, which was the nation that God called and God established. And God said that from Abraham, he was going to give us the Messiah, and all of these nations that surround Israel have turned their guns against the Jews. And when we get over into the tribulation period and we read about how 2,500 years ago, 2,600 years ago, 2,700 years ago, God, through these men, gave prophecies about how he was going to judge these nations for how they have treated Israel. It's amazing. And we're going to learn some things. And it's going to be something that I guarantee you will pique your interest if you will be here to listen to them. So we've got the rapture. Then we've got the ruin, the tribulation period, 7 years in length. And during that 7 years of tribulation, God is going to pour out his wrath upon this world in a way that has never been seen before. Then the third R is the return. That is when Jesus comes back literally, physically, and touches ground upon this earth. You have the rapture, then you have the ruin, 7 years of tribulation, and at the end of that tribulation, the return of Christ. He will come back with all of us. We all come back with him. Those that he took out over here come back with him here. And when he comes back, he left from the Mount of Olives. He will come back to the Mount of Olives. He will split that mountain. Those of you that were there last week, you got a clear vision of it in your mind. You can see it right now. Well, it's just going to be split. And that Kidron Valley is going to be filled in. Isaiah prophesied and he said, every mountain and every hill will be brought low. I mean, he's going to level it, and he's going to enter into the temple that will be rebuilt during this tribulation period, and will sit down upon the throne of David to rule and to reign the world. All these nations that hate the Jews, they don't hate the Jews just for any reason. No. You got to realize, my friend, there's a devil that hates the Jews. You got to realize that there's a devil that despises the people that God has chosen, that God chose to bring the Messiah into the world. And that's what this is all about. Ultimately, this is not the Palestinians against the Israelis. Ultimately, this is not the Iranians against the Jews. This is not Ahmadinejad against Netanyahu. Oh, no. This is the devil fighting against God. And God has the plan. God's told us the plan. And what we need to do is know it. So you got rapture. You've got ruin. You've got return. Then you've got the 1,000-year reign. R-E-I-G-N, the reign of Christ. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, you see the restoration. You see the new heaven and the new earth and sin gone and the devil gone and the Antichrist gone and the false prophet gone. You've got a death and hell cast into the lake of fire, and you've got a new heaven and a new earth, and for all eternity, we will be with the Lord. So that's God's plan. That's what God says is going to happen. Now, folks, please understand that God's plan cannot be thwarted. It cannot be thwarted. And it is the rapture that gets this plan started. And then once the rapture takes place, then the sequence will follow that I outlined for you just now. You say, well, how do you know that's the way it's going to be? Because it's in the Bible. That's how I know. You've got the rapture in Revelation 4. You've got the tribulation period, the ruin, in Revelation 6 through 18. You've got the return in Revelation 19. You've got the millennium, the reign, in Revelation 20. And in 21 and 22, you've got the restoration. It's in the Bible. That's how I know it's going to happen. And so here's this adulterous generation, and they come and, oh, show us a sign and we'll believe. Got a sign right here. It's called King James Bible. Got a sign right here. The problem is we're not reading the Bible. And if we'll study the Bible and read the Bible, we will see that God has a plan. Now, all these signs, all these things, this is where all these signs come in. Let me explain to you where all these signs come into play. Take your Bible and go over to Luke 21. Luke 21. Let me begin reading in verse 20. You follow along. The Lord Jesus is on, he's with his disciples and he's on the Mount of Olives. He's talking to them. Listen to what he says in verse 21. He's talking about the tribulation. He's talking about the ruin period. Listen to what he says. Look at verse 21. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Did you get that? All things which are written. That's what we're going to study over the next several months. That all these things that are written might be fulfilled. Folks, God has a plan. That's my point. And we're going to look at that plan. We're going to go back and look at all the things that were written. Do you realize that when the Lord Jesus spoke this, that the New Testament had not even been written yet? So what possibly could he be talking about all this that is written? What could he be talking about? Excuse me, I got to get my bulletin. What could he be talking about? I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about Jeremiah. He's talking about Isaiah. He's talking about Ezekiel. He's talking about Daniel. He's talking about Habakkuk. He's talking about all those Old Testament books that we never look at and we never read. But notice the promise that is here. I mean, it's amazing when you think about it. He said, For these be, verse 22, these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land. What land? What land? In Israel. In Israel. You know, another big problem we have is looking at prophecy from a Western perspective. We look at prophecy like it's all going to take place in America. Oh, it's not going to take place in America. Jesus is not coming back to Washington, D.C. He's coming back to Jerusalem. All right? He said, for in that day there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be what? Signs. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Have you been watching the news this last week? Have you been watching? And did you not see over in the Mediterranean of all places? I mean, 30-foot waves. Did you not see up in the Baltic Sea, all those vessels up there frozen in the ice? All those people stuck on boats frozen in the ice. May I remind you that just in the last couple of weeks, there have been three or four major earthquakes. Just in the last week. You say, wow, Pastor, that's a coincidence. You can call it what you want, my friend. I got a Bible here. I just happen to believe. And my Lord said that there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Wow. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? Now, look here. Rapture, ruin, return. All these signs that Jesus is talking about here, these signs are not signs of the rapture. They're signs of the return. There are no signs for the rapture. What Jesus said about the rapture is, he could come at any time. What Paul said about it is, we don't know when it's going to happen, but mark it down, it's going to happen. Boom, we're out of here. So all the signs are for the return. Now, where are we today? We're over here, just before the rapture. We're over here, 7 years before the return. Isn't it strange that here we are 7 years, at least 7 years out, but yet we're seeing all these signs take place around us? If we can already start to see the signs, how much closer should the rapture be? Folks, we don't know when the Lord's coming, but all the signs are for over here. If we're seeing the signs already over here, that should convince us that the time is drawing near. It could be today. It could be today. So understand that all the signs are for the return. So what does that mean? Well, it means that the rapture must be close. Let me approach it from another angle. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. He said, let's go back. I didn't finish. 27. He said, and then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's the return. You with me? Look at verse 28. And when these things, what's the next word? Begin. Begin. Hey, folks, just this last week, three earthquakes, tsunamis. I watched it in Tiberias. We watched it CNN over there, you know, the Clinton News Network. And I watched it. I saw it. And the tsunamis. And then you had the waves in the Mediterranean. I mean, the signs are all around us. And notice what Jesus said here. He said in verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. Why? For redemption draweth nigh. That's why. When you start seeing all these signs, Jesus said, Christian, look up. It's getting close. And the Lord is going to return. I've had teenagers say to me, but Pastor, I want to get married first. But Pastor, I want to experience being a mother first. My friends, I guarantee you, when he comes, you're going to lose You're going to lose sight of everything else. And you're going to realize what's the most important thing in the world, and that's a relationship with the God of the universe. When these things begin, the signs have been multiplying in number and increasing in intensity just in our lifetime. In our day, some things are appearing on the stage of human history that are absolutely unique. There are things happening today that have not happened in the past 2,000 years. There have always been, to some degree and in some measure, wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and pestilences and the apostasy. It's always been. But we are seeing today, by the way of signs, things that are just on, it's all on the increase. And it should cause us to realize that things are getting closer and that God is once again ready to intervene in the affairs of men to put his program into operation. When all the signs begin to point to Jesus and you can see them, then he said, lift up your head and start looking, because Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Now, second thing, real quickly, and I'm done. I'm almost done. I'm not quite done, but I'm almost done. Number two. First of all, I wanted you not only to understand that there is a sequence of events in prophecy, but number two, understand that there are some specific things occurring. I mean, there's some things happening right now, folks, that just ought to give you hope and encouragement that the Lord's return is soon. Don't lose sight of the fact that God has a plan for this world. Much of that plan has already occurred, but much of it is yet to happen. It's all in the book. And much of it has happened, but much of it is yet to happen. And the Lord Jesus told us of his return and all the events of the tribulation that will follow his return. And it's amazing how the tribulation events are lining up. 2 weeks ago, Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the prime minister of the state of Israel, said to a national audience, Ezekiel 37 has been fulfilled. You say, well, what's in Ezekiel 37? That's my point. We need to know what's in Ezekiel 37. And Benjamin Netanyahu, who does not profess to be a believer, said Ezekiel 37 has already happened. Ezekiel 37 is where Ezekiel saw a valley of dry bones. And while he was looking at it, all of a sudden, you remember the old Negro spiritual, the head bone connected to the neck bone, and the neck bone connected to the backbone, and the backbone connected to the hip bone. Ezekiel stood there and watched as this valley of dry bones all became a body. And life was given to that body. You say, well, what's the point? The point is that for 2,500 years, Israel was not a nation, was not a state. They had no government. But in 1948, they declared themselves a sovereign state. And Netanyahu recognized that Ezekiel 37 has happened. That only leaves, do you know what's in the next chapter? Do you know what's in Ezekiel 38? Well, we're going to find out. That's what we're going to do on Wednesday nights. We're going to find out. In 1948, for the first time in 2,500 years, Israel became an independent state. Against all odds, the scattering sheep of God's pasture were gathered back into the land that was given to them by God through Abraham, and they will never lose it again. In 1967, they ran the Jordanians out of Jerusalem. We stood at the gate as we entered into the city on Friday, I think it was, we stood at the gate and we saw the gate, the stone gate that was just riddled with bullet holes from the 1967 war, where they ran the Jordanians back across the Jordan River and put their boundary on the Jordan River. And now today, surrounding them on all sides is a world that hates the fact that they are there. All the nations that touch their border are Muslim nations that look upon the Jews as pigs, as dogs, and who want to kill each and every one of them so that they can claim the city of Jerusalem as a Muslim city. Back in January, Senator Haynes gave me a copy of the Quran, which was given to him on the day that they opened the legislative session, that was given to him by some Muslim organization. And Larry came and said, here, Pastor, you want this? And gave it to me. It's written in Arabic. It's translated into English. And then it has commentary that is real interesting. And I've been reading it. It's real interesting. I tell you, I'm amazed at the hatred. I'm amazed at the twisting of the truth. I'm amazed at the utter disdain Islam has for Jews and for Christians. I know you've heard over and over where the media has told us that Islam is a peaceful religion. Brethren, it is not. Do not believe that. It is filled with hatred from beginning to end. That Quran is filled with hatred toward Jews and Christians. And Muhammad has said over and over and over that the Muslims are to kill the unbelievers. Cut off their heads, he said. By the way, do you not remember that that's what they did to that New York Times reporter over there? Do you not remember that's what they did to our soldiers in Somalia? Do you not remember when they were in Mogadishu, they cut off their heads and they dragged their bodies through the streets of the town? Do you not remember that every chance they get, they cut off the head and they hang them on bridges for the world to see? It's a religion of hate is what it is. I tell you what Islam is. Listen here. Here's what it is. It's Christianity upside down. It's Christianity upside down. The whole idea is that Muslims are going to take over the world and make the world submit to Allah. But simply put, Islam is Christianity upside down. And here is little old Israel, completely surrounded for 500 miles that way and 1,000 miles that way and 300 miles that way, completely surrounded by people who want them all dead and dead brutally. Wonder all these prophecies over here in Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. Wonder what they're all about. Can I tell you what they're all about? We're going to learn it, but here's what they're all about. They're all about those Islamic nations that surround little old Israel. They're all about them. In Isaiah, prophecies about Egypt, prophecies about Saudi Arabia, prophecies about Persia, which is Iran. Prophecies about all those nations. We today are awaiting the return of Christ to rapture the church and remove the church from the judgment and condemnation of the tribulation period. Do you know what the Muslims are waiting for? You don't know because you haven't read the Quran. They don't want you reading the Quran. The Quran is their book. They don't want you reading it because when you read it, you're going to find out what a book of hate it is. But you know what they're waiting on? They're waiting on their own Messiah. They call him the Mahdi. We'll learn about that on Wednesday night. They're waiting on the Mahdi to come. And you remember last year, Ahmadinejad, that crazy guy from Iran. Ahmadinejad stood on the floor of the United Nations and boldly proclaimed that this Mahdi is coming soon and that he has been appointed to prepare the way for Mahdi to come. And when he comes, he'll lead all Muslims to drive the Jews into the Mediterranean and give the land of Abraham back to the Palestinians. Folks, we've all been watching the news. We've watched as Iran is getting closer and closer to having nuclear capability. And I'm going to be honest with you, I cannot imagine that Israel will allow them to get it. I cannot imagine that. Despite the pressure from the White House, I cannot imagine that Israel, that Benjamin Netanyahu is going to stand idly by and let that nut get a nuclear weapon. To be honest with you, I was praying the whole time we were over it, Lord, please do not let them go to war while we're here. I really was. That was on my mind. Ahmadinejad has said the reason they're working on nuclear power is for electricity. But the whole world knows that's not true. They have, according to the United Nations report, right now the capability to generate electricity, but they keep enriching uranium. Why? They want to bomb. Why? They want to bomb Israel. Why? So their Mahdi will come. I'm telling you, Islam is Christianity upside down. We're looking for Jesus to come and deliver. They're looking for Mahdi to come and destroy. Destroy God's people. They want a nuclear warhead so they can destroy Israel with it. And if Israel launches, think about this now. Think about this. Remember, rapture, that's next. Then, tribulation. All these prophecies in the Old Testament, what are they about? They're about these nations that hate Israel. They're about these nations, Israel's neighbors, that hate Israel. Now watch. Here we are, right before the rapture. And here's the rapture. Then here's the ruin. Here we are today. Israel is not going to stand and let that guy get a nuclear bomb. And when Netanyahu goes over there and blows those reactors up, it's going to be Katie bar the door in the Middle East. It's going to break loose like you've never seen before. They have been meeting. They were meeting when we were there. They had several meetings when we were there last week in Syria. Several meetings. I didn't tell our group all the stuff that was going on. The guide was telling me. I didn't tell the group what was going on. I didn't want everybody to worry. I worried enough for the whole group. Lord, please, just get us out of here. And the guy that is the leader of Hamas, that guy with the black beard and the little black cap he wears, that guy is afraid to show his face in public. He has not been seen in 2 years since the war that they had with Gaza a couple years ago. He has not been seen for 2 years. And he showed up at this meeting. And the newspaper, which was an Arab newspaper that I was reading, the newspaper said that it excited the Arab world. Man, when I read that, I thought, even so come, Lord Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, we're living on borrowed time. And if Israel launches a strike against Iran to stop the development of this nuclear bomb, every nation in the Middle East has said they will go to war against Israel. And there are multitudes of scriptures which speak of this. We're going to look at them on Wednesday nights. In Isaiah, in Micah, in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, in Joel, in Haggai, in Nahum, in Zechariah, and in many other scriptures, there is prophecy after prophecy about the coming judgment of these nations. Judgments which I believe are going to be administered by God Almighty during the tribulation period. Folks, the point is, the signs are all around us. I believe that we are the generation that is going to be living when Jesus returns. Never, never has the stage been set like it's set today for the scriptures to be fulfilled. Could it be today? Could it be tonight? Could the trumpet sound this week? The signs are all around us. And let me remind you that Jesus said, when you see these signs begin, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Man, it behooves us to get busy for God. It behooves us to get in our Bible and read it and know the Word of God. It behooves us to start telling people about Jesus. For the Lord's return is soon. Let's pray together.